So she fucked you up.
No, she did exactly what I asked her to do.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a good call on my end.
How is her new studio?
So nice. I didn't notice it's a corner spot. Like it's on like Franklin and I forget the cross streets, but it's like a very spacious and like open space. There's not a lot in there right now, but I kind of actually like how minimal it is. And she got these like custom mirrors made and they're massive.
Wow.
You could just, you know, stare at all your imperfections. Did you book with her?
No, I didn't have a chance to. I mean, I emailed asking for like, all right, so here's the story. So the day of my birthday.
Yeah.
Or like the day leading up to my small birthday gathering. It's like one of those moments. Everyone feels it when they need a haircut and they just like, they're like, I need to deal with this right now. Sometimes they're able to kind of like, you know, be a little bit patient and hope they can get a booking like a week out. But for whatever reason, everywhere, like either at Kinlock or what's the name of Jess's new place?
Second Day Brooklyn.
Yeah. So like everything was just like a week out, like two weeks out. And like I was slated to go on some like big work thing. And I just like, ah, fuck this. My hair is looking like a mullet. I need things taken care of stat. So I emailed them and right. So I figured out I couldn't get a haircut. So I made the biggest gamble of my life. And I started hitting up white people barbershops. And longtime listeners of the show know that Emilio and I have some bones to pick.
We used to get lined the fuck up.
Yeah, with the fucking Peaky Blinders, barber ass, you know, stylists of New York and maybe even like, I don't know. Anyway, point is, I booked just like for like the next day at this place right next to me. It's near like this awful coffee shop called Oh Boy. I don't know if anyone's familiar with it, but
Oh Boy.
Oh God. Anyway, I go there the next day and I really like, I have to kind of like talk the barber through everything because I'm so scared of what he's going to do to my hair.
Yeah.
So I'm telling him like, brother, like just a little bit off, just a little bit, like just keep the same cut. Like I can get through the next 2 weeks with this cut before I can go to Jess.
Yeah.
Just give me a little trim, thin it in some areas. I just want a little bit off the top. He's like, fine. And then he does this thing, which I think you're aware of. Mm. Maybe not, because you never had hair as long as mine, but around my sideburns, like I don't know if you could see it. He like, cuts the hair here.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like, I don't know. It doesn't look like a mullet, but it's like in his mind, he thought, oh, this is a man. So this man needs fucking like sideburns, right?
Right.
And I can't really grow sideburns, but like he thinks I need to be like lined up for whatever reason, look like I actually got a haircut. And so he like cuts this real short. It looks fine here because you can't really see the back of my hair. But like it just gave me like, just flashbacks of like MySpace era, like mullets and like steps. And
yeah,
I left and I met up with Anna and like I showed her, she goes, it doesn't look bad. It looks a little weird, but that's just what happens when you go to barbers. And I don't know, until we have some barbers on the show to defend themselves. Yeah. I think that this has got to be my most progressive take, but do not get your hair cut by a straight man.
Yeah, I don't. I only let women touch my hair. I can't. I mean, honestly, the last time I got a bad haircut, because Evan and I have been going to the same hairstylist. I don't know, the same.
Yeah,
hair artist for almost 4.5 years now, and before that. Were you going to, what was her name? Aaron from Chicago?
We'll call her Aaron. It's not Aaron, but
it's not Aaron. Yeah, it's Aaron. Right.
I forgot her name.
I still, Katie. It was Katie.
Katie. That's far off.
We went
she to, had this, she had this like sick Monroe piercing. You don't really see those anymore.
Yeah. I thought about hitting her up when I was in Chicago because I needed a haircut badly. It was like, I was like a month into tour. But anyway, so we went with her for a couple of years. So the last time I got a bad haircut was, I think, 2016, Wrigleyville, Chicago. I went down to the local barbershop. What are you taking a photo?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. Pause right here. So it looks like, lower your shirt a little bit. to where the ball's right, like lower your shirt. So there was a moment where it looked like the guy kicking the ball looked like he was getting some dome. And okay. I took a picture of it so I could prove this to you later. But I was trying to guess as to what was going on there. I was like, oh, I didn't know Emilio was into wearing like graphic tees. So continue. You're in Chicago.
Pro dome. Went down to the local barbershop and I think a photo came up on my Instagram, like whatever, 7 years ago, where I saw how bad that I was basically getting, like not a buzz cut, but it was like close to like a buzz cut, what he was doing like on the sides of my hair. But anyway, so that was the last time I got a bad haircut. Now, you know, I've been trusting. People underestimate finding someone that you fully trust,
right,
with your hair.
And also, it might be added that finding someone you trust but honors the rate of their previous establishment, while Bidenomics is inflating everybody's day rates.
Yeah. So where should we get into it?
Sure. I mean, I wanted to kind of kick things off because I saw you last night.
Yeah.
And maybe this explains why like, so I was going to say, hey, let's kick things off because you were in my dream last night. And I saw you last night.
Damn, what was
and,
I doing?
And, you know, it's funny. I
was getting married.
Well, no, wait.
Okay.
So I don't know where we were, but I was kind of like pestering you. I was like, yo, bro, when are we recording this podcast? Like, when can we record? And you're like, I can't do it right now. I was like, okay, like, what about like in a couple of days? You're like, nah, I can't do it then either. I'm like, what? What's going on here? I was like, is he going to tell me he's done? Does he not want to do the podcast anymore? Is he just like hanging things up? And he goes, I actually have something to tell you. I'm getting married right now. And then all of a sudden,
oh my God.
All of a sudden, like wherever we are just turns into a wedding.
And oh my God.
More specifically, it turns into a wedding reception. And I'm not sure who you are, who you're marrying. Like, she's just like a faceless woman. Like, I don't know who she is. But of a sudden, a podcasting mic is in my hand.
Oh shit, dude.
And they're saying speech, say something, speech. Me. And I think I said something just like along the lines of like, what the fuck did I say? I said,
you started speaking Spanish.
No, I think I said something like, you know, Emilio, sometimes you just got to try things on to see how it feels. Like in reference to the wedding, because I was like, that's a little fast. Because it seemed in that moment, the connection was, oh, he just saw his pal get married.
Yeah.
He thought, fuck it, maybe that's for me. And he just did it. So,
you know, what is cinematic dream? That's it's funny you bring that up too, because one of my do's and don'ts was don't be the perpetual. And it relates to something you sent, a screenshot you sent me, or a photo of a celebrity you sent me. I said, don't be the perpetual bachelor. Don't get stuck being the perpetual bachelor, unless you're someone like this, the person in this image. But so I guess that also dovetails into, you know, where you might be wondering, where have we been? Where, you know, we've been trying to figure out the path forward in our personal lives as well as our work lives, I guess you could see. We, like you said, just saw you for the first time. You spent a lovely weekend upstate. And I have to ask, did you pay more attention to the water this time?
Oh yeah, for sure. Are you talking about how I've never caught anything upstate while fishing?
Did you catch something?
Well, it's called fishing, brother. It ain't called catching.
Okay.
But I didn't catch anything. Even this time when I was out with a guide.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ole, who is my dude of the week. Ole is incredible. He was on, you know, he used to be like, he used to be on Wall Street for 30 years, decided that ain't for him anymore. Moved out to Sullivan County or the Catskills. I'm not sure if those are two of the same, but two in the same, but has been, you know, kind of freelancing full time as a guide, taking people out and teaching them how to better cast and catch a goddamn fish. But no, I didn't catch anything this time, but I walked away with so much more knowledge, you know,
day by day, step by step. So I was in New Orleans for a wedding, and
I was gonna let the listeners know that's the reason why I was, you know.
You were what? Oh, the dream.
That I was dreaming about you. It wasn't
dreaming, yeah.
But yeah, go right anyway.
Yeah, I was at a wedding. I'm second wedding ever. First friend's wedding. And I'm a fan of weddings. I'm pro wedding now. I want to
go. It's a fan of love.
So love. I shed a tear. I didn't shed a tear, but I did. My eyes got watery for sure. It was beautiful to be down in New Orleans. Siri's picking me up. Okay. Wait, let me make sure that, okay, it's still recording. Yeah. I keep saying this, but that wedding made me want to get married. You know, it was just, everybody was in such a good mood. It was one of the best weekends of my life. Yeah, shout out to Shalou, to Joe Boston. He definitely has never listened to the podcast, but thanks for the invite. Beautiful to see the ceremony. I have one skincare anecdote from it, and I didn't have any, for any brands listening, I'm out of face wash. More specifically, I'm out of cleanser that is under 3.6 fluid ounces. So I said, I'll just pick something up at the Walgreens or something. So stayed with Will. Will and I went down to the Walgreens and we picked up a bottle of Cetaphil, the gentle cleanser. Mm-hmm. And the next day when I went to use it, just squirted a little bit on my hand. I looked at it and I instantly remembered that episode with Janice, because I was like, yeah, this looks like cum.
They used it for this, like, when they had to do stills on set, you know? So they're like, oh, fuck.
Behind
the
scene, yeah.
We don't want to do the cum shot quite yet. Just pull out a little bit of that Cetaphil.
I'm all squirt it
on their faces.
When the tank's empty, you pull out the Cetaphil, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. The idea of some guy, like, faking that he finished with that.
With just a couple pumps of that. No, that's all I gotta say. So, yeah, we've been busy. Busy
mourning our 20s.
Mourning, yeah.
One last thing I'll say about Emilio's experience, about just how moved he was at this marriage. I don't know if anyone's on his close friends, but literally he was filming their vows and with the text on the video, me and who. And then I didn't hear from you for like a day. And I think
Yeah.
The first text message I got from you after the wedding, Sunday, I think it was 1:26 p.m., you go, I got to get married. Yeah.
Yeah, so. You know, and no one liked, just a bunch of single guys, a bunch of really single, which also led me to the idea of the perpetual bachelor, just a bunch of single guys, really. I guess I'll call them out, you know, the first heart on the story was Mr. Austin Withers. Yeah, just a bunch of single guys like the story. Not that I was expecting any, you know, potential suitors to like it, but, you know, maybe a message or two of some people, you know, sharing and the fact that we all think marriage is a beautiful thing. But
right, yeah, surprising, so, that the hundreds of women on your close friends didn't
that's
double
not,
tap it.
I'm the close friends is down only to close friends now. Except for when I have to make an announcement. And yeah, I'm riding the high of the wedding. And yeah, what the fuck are we doing? What the hell are we doing?
Like with our lives or with the podcast?
With the podcast.
We're kind of going through some growing pains, I think. I think you and I are both changing as people.
Yeah.
I think a big theme for me lately in general is just kind of like, I alluded to this, but like mourning my 20s, which, you know, that's some loser shit, because it's like, who cares? But
yeah,
thinking about, like, you know, like you turn 30. And you think, oh God, like what you wanted for yourself at 30. Not that you should always be like trying to, I don't know, put so much pressure on yourself to achieve these goals. But, you know, I definitely thought like at 30, I'd have a little bit more money, a little more financial security. I might've been a little thinner. My hair would have been a little fuller. I thought maybe, you know, I would be working doing something I like truly love and making a lot of money off of it. Maybe not a lot, but like enough to so where I felt like, you know, proud.
Yeah.
And then maybe a little more authority in some places. Whoa. Not like in a boss people around kind of ways, but like maybe in my own life. But you know, these are the breaks, my guy.
That's where you fit. Yeah, that's what I think I'd been feeling the same. And then, you know, when I was at, I think the wedding confused me even more, because I was like,
yeah,
I was like, suddenly I was thrown back into where I was at in my life 6-7 years ago, which was like the last time I was like spending a lot of time around and working closely with a lot of people at the wedding. And give me another one of my do's and don'ts. Just, I was, you know, it's, I think also when you, sometimes you just got to embrace what you're good at, even if it's not exactly how you pictured, you know, your life turning out, or picture that that's what you would be doing at this point in your life. Like, I think for years I was really trying to, and we were chatting about this a bit last night, I was trying to, you know, push away this like style of music that I make, because it's like corny and not like the kind that I listen to. But I should just like, who cares is I guess is what I'm getting at. And I should have just been leaning into that. And I think listeners are going to be, they're going to be hearing a lot more EDM from me, because I'm back in it. I'm just going to embrace it. Just try to have fun with it. Have fun with the podcast. We're going to, you know, go through these growing pains and figure out how to keep this fun for us and fun for you. And part of that is we're going to stick it all behind the fucking paywall.
Well, yeah,
no, I'm
we're
going to
do
just
some
kidding.
More of, like, yeah, we're going to do some paywall
just
stuff.
Just kidding.
Because, you know, Emilio and I, we are currently suffering from some cash flow issues. And I think, well, that's not the only reason to do this, but I think we kind of owe listeners some different types of episodes. And I think sometimes you kind of have to like free your mind from what you've been doing as a podcast and decide like, oh, well, like what is a podcast? What is like what could it be? Could it be 10 minutes if it needed to be? Could it just be like a phone call with like a friend where you just want some clarity on a certain issue? And, you know, things have to be thought out. They can't just kind of end up so bare bones. But we're gonna be toying around with that a lot. And I think also kind of to explain a little bit of us being quiet, I mean, you know, outside of what's going on geopolitically, but I think there's also been like a cultural shift in how we talk about like wellness, self-care, skincare. I think there's a bit of fatigue.
For sure.
Although, you know, the article I shared with you today that came out a couple weeks ago, the cut was just kind of...
Mr. Carson,
you know, interviewing like teens, you know, kids under the age of like, well, I guess they're under the age of 26.
Pre-teens.
Like,
yeah.
You know, why they're so obsessed with, locking down an intensive skincare routine and their fear of aging. And they even talked with some dermatologists. What's her name? We've messaged her before. Idris.
Shireen or whatever.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because I use her. Idris. I don't know how to say it, but yeah, I use her like this cooling eye gel. But yeah, so let's get into that article. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So like, I don't know. So she sees some patients. You know, people who are patients, customers. I don't know how you classify them, but they go in and they're looking
sick.
To you know, most people, most like, you know, women and men, and they're like probably late 20s, early 30s, probably mostly 40s and 50s are going in to like get some Botox, get some minor work done. But she's been seeing this huge influx of like girls from like 19 to 25 who are coming in and asking how, you know, if they can get anything done that's going to, smoothen the aging process, or like something that's preventative, like baby Botox. And she just kind of turns them away and says, you're literally wasting my time. And we've talked to some people on the show who have gotten Botox who are 23, and younger. And, it's wild. I think like in reading that and the other articles I sent to you, I mean, like centered around like teens and Gen Z, and we can get into those a little bit later. I think they all kind of relate. I know right now I probably sound like that grumpy guy who just turned 30 and it's like, what's going on with the youth? But I think the interest in like specifically like Gen Z and like Gen Alpha, how it like differs from everyone's you know, preoccupation with like millennials when they were younger, is that like they literally are like this new like type of internet, they've literally been on it for
their whole lives.
It's so different. Yeah. It's so different. Like I feel like we were the last kind of generation to be like, you know, hey mom, hey dad, I'm gonna go bike around the neighborhood like for the day, and I'll see you later. People, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my neighbors would knock on my door to hang out.
Yeah. So there's a difference there. So I think going back to like the obsession with aging, and we've talked about this before, but I think it's because the world seems so much like scarier now, even though, you know, I guess technically we're like the safest and I guess most like, I guess the least violent time in history ever. You wouldn't know that, you know, based on what you see in the news, but like, I feel like everyone, it just feels so out of control. Things are going so fast. And the one thing you can't control, or one thing that money really truly can't buy, is the inevitability of your death. And I think that's just a bunch of cope. And kids are pretty I don't know. I think they're onto it, and they also know that, you know, I think they're also having to be reminded of their mortality every single day, and like seeing themselves age. And I think that's probably a big part of it. But I took up enough airwaves. What do you think?
I can't remember what I was listening to the other day, that like there's something that is so desensitizing about, whether it's like, all right, you know, now like people grow up on the internet and a lot of their jobs require, like there's something so desensitizing about looking at a screen all day, like constantly living your life like through a screen, that I feel like that subconsciously is like really like affecting people. Like I know it definitely like affects me, and it kind of like, I think it really like affects the way I perceive like the passage of time, and like I like, if it just feels like it accelerates everything like so much, because you're also just like taking in so much information all the time, and like essentially like, you know, like cataloging your life all the time. I think, but it doesn't lessen from here now, you know, like I don't know where, I'm truly interested to see where, well, I don't know if interest is the right word. I'm curious to see where how the conversation around beauty evolves, and like, yeah, also in relation to the youth really just like freaking out.
Well, yeah, I think honestly, like culturally, I think, I mean, there might be a huge swing in the opposite direction of where things are going. Just because that seems to be the trend no matter what, like whether it be in like, you know, politics or the kind of, I don't know, entertainment people choose to watch, you know, like whether, you know, no one's really watching Marvel movies anymore. I don't know if you've seen some of these stats coming out about like,
oh, no,
you know, like Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer, like the audience is under the age of 35, like those movies predominantly their audiences were under the age of 35, and that they're going to see these, you know, types of movies or more excited for them than other just like IP movies aren't making the same kind of cash like they used to. But
yeah,
there are many factors into why that is. But but, you know, going back to like beauty, I think, I don't know, maybe this is just like anecdotal, it's personal. Like I think lately, like excuse me, a lot of my like wellness and self-care might, you know, some people would argue maybe I'm a little depressed, but I actually think like not having to like, you know, I haven't really been so involved with like skincare, like taking care of myself, you know, almost kind of like a revolt to it all. You know what I mean? Like just kind of like, or like trying to be like purposefully bad to my body just because, you know, it's like kind of like that, what the fuck, you know, it's like that
you'll kill yourself.
What's that lyric from that fucking, who's the girl that's dating Lily Rose Depp? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, fuck. Hold on. Oh, yeah.
I was calling her Alabama Shakes. No,
Alabama Shakes, 070 Shake or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, you know that lie where she's like putting my hand on the stove to see if I still feel like that? It's like that applies.
She said that?
She said that.
I thought Mac Miller said that first.
Well, maybe Mac Miller did say that first, you know, RIP. But point is, I think that's kind of like where my wellness is now, and I'm trying to get out of it. But I think a lot of that has to do with having more time now. Like through no fault of my own, just like in terms of like work and everything, and just like I have more time to kind of invest more in like, you know, routine and habits and like keeping an apartment tidy. Like that's like incredibly hard for me, but but you know, anyway, that's an aside. I think that's where it's kind of go though. I don't know how. I don't know. Like I mean, I think that's pretty much what you see once people there once something's seen reached the saturation point, people just say fuck that. I'm going back to like, you know, like think about all those weird trad influencers, like trad health influencers who are like, no, fuck your veganism. You got to eat an all carnivore diet. You got to like.
Right.
So I think that's where it's all going. And those other two pieces I sent you, that were pretty data heavy. One was about.
I couldn't read the Wall Street Journal one.
Got to hit up Gallagher, dude. We'll give you it.
Yeah,
just kidding. Actually, I do not know if he ever sends that out to people. I think
I don't think so. Speak on that one a little bit.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's related. I think again to like this sense of like insecurity and anxiety. But I guess like I didn't know that teens are wanting to be tracked by their parents, like with these apps. Like there's an app called Life 360, and
sounds like a gym.
Yeah. It says members of Gen Z ages 11 to 26 say they use family location sharing apps to bolster a sense of security. This has doubled since 2021. The app now has more than 33 million monthly active users. That's not the data I was looking at. Emery, now a 16-year-old high school junior, began using Life 360 even before... Wait, I have to back up.
Don't worry.
So, all right, here. A 10-year-old girl... in Davenport, Iowa, was kidnapped and murdered by a relative in 2020. And it took 8 months to find her body. By a relative. I mean, it's usually a relative. It's usually the boyfriend, not of a 10-year-old, but like in general. That's an aside. Anyway, okay, so this left the 16-year-old girl, Emery, shaken by the fact that this girl got abducted. And she was like, if something happened to me, I think it would be useful for my parents to know my last location. Emery, now a 16-year-old in high school, she began using Life 360 even before that kidnapping when she was in the sixth grade. She said, I was a very anxious kid. She says a yearbook survey from last school year showed that half of the more than 1,500 students at her school used the app. Her friend group of 12 all share their location with one another in it. Some teens don't have a good relationship with their parents or just don't want them to constantly know where they are. Emery says she knows a couple of teens who refuse to be on Life 360 with their parents. Emery likes knowing that if she's in a car accident, her parents will receive an alert. She was riding with friends last year in Des Moines, more than 2 hours from home, when her friend's sister rear-ended another car. Emery's phone detected that the two had come to a hard stop, and the app notified her parents. The girls were fine. I'm going to stop reading, but I guess I don't know. I don't know too many young, like I don't know too many. I don't know
you
any.
You know
teens,
any 10-year-old?
But let the record reflect. I don't know any teens. I know people from ages like maybe 22 to 25.
I know. I kind of wish I had like nieces and nephews like in that age range solely just so I could kind of like. Get to the bottom of it. See what's going on. See how I'm so detached, obviously, from like how people in that age range are like living nowadays. You know, it's like I'm sure like the experience in all aspects is very different from like how we were living at that time. I don't know. So I don't know what the, and I'm not, you know, I'm not scrolling on TikTok I'm not seeing it on my reels, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't even know their brains.
Life 360. Life 360 sounds like some like you're uploading your consciousness to the cloud. That's what that shit sounds like.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it goes kind of hand in hand with the fact that so many homeowners now have like security systems with cameras everywhere. We just like live in such like a low trust society now. And
yeah,
but the sad thing about it, I think, is that like, all right, I don't think it's you know that profound to say that. I think what's like just kind of annoying is to note that no one seems to have any interest in like rebuilding trust, and I think that's what gets me bummed out the most. But yeah, I think I don't know, like trying to imagine. Yeah, like I mean, what was your high school experience like? Like for me, I had older boomer parents. You know, like my mom just turned 70, and I think they weren't so hung up on knowing where I was at all times. They kind of really just like, not that I had like, you know, the most amazing relationship with my parents. I mean, I have a good relationship, but like, I would just like tell my mom like, hey, like I'm going out, like I'll be back later. And if not, like, I guess I would call somewhere and just like, be like, oh, I'm just going to spend the night here. You know, like, and she didn't know any of the kids' parents or anything. She didn't think anything bad was going to happen to me. Again, maybe it's because I was a boy, but I understand like the general anxiety around like raising teenage girls and like all the sickos on the internet. And, you know, being so like,
yeah, I think my parents were more worried about my sister's whereabouts because of that. Like they were definitely like a little more, I mean, I also wasn't really getting into trouble, but like, yeah, I could just be like, if it got too late, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to spend the night at this person's house. And like what they knew about that person is what I told them. But yeah, I was thinking about this recently too. I feel like it would just, yeah, there's parents like raising kids now are just like way more like hyper vigilant. Like I feel like even if I had a kid, I'd be a little bit more worried about where they were than like where, when our parents were like raising us.
Yeah.
But I think it's, yeah, it's just I don't know.
I think parents and kids are closer than they ever have been. And
I think
there's a balancing act that parents are trying to do with their kids where they're like, I'm like your fucking friend, but sometimes I'm your parent, you know, and I know more than you. And like, they really do act like, I don't know,
they gotta
like the end all be all of what a relationship should be with other people. And I don't like what they expect to, like what they expect probably from other people. They expect a total like friend, parent figure level of trust. And like I have a friend who's, you know, he's in his 40s and he has a couple of teenage girls, and you know, like, even he and his wife sometimes they would suggest like, hey, like if you guys like are gonna go drink, like, you know, like just let us know, and like, you know, maybe we like would provide you like a beer or two, or if you guys wanted that, like just so we know like you guys are safe or doing it in I don't know, that it's not this kind of thing that you have to go and seek out, and it has to be like this act of rebellion. I mean, maybe that's like the subtext of it all, but literally his daughters are just like, no, we're not interested in that. Like we don't want to do that at all. Like we'd rather stay inside and like just, you know, like look at like be on our phones, be on the computer, you know, like chat with friends that way. Like we have no interest in going out and doing like what used to be in, you know, teen movies. And I think it's kind of baffles them, because sometimes he's like, you know, I wish you guys would have, like, I just hope you guys don't feel like you're missing out on something, you know.
It just doesn't seem like a very sounds kind of bleak. It doesn't seem like a very fun existence, you know.
No, but and also being like reminded, like, I mean, all right, going into the next one, God, don't you love it that we just like, I turned 30, we're just like going down the fucking the grump hole of just like trying to understand what's going on with the goddamn teens. But that, like, I guess, all right, yeah, study reveals some teens receive 5,000 notifications daily. Most spend almost 2 hours on TikTok. One of my favorite stats in this article was like, the study speculates that one of the main reasons why younger people prefer TikTok over other apps is that it's video based, meaning that there's no need to do anything as exhausting as reading or typing.
Oh my God.
Which I feel like is in direct contradiction with, I think I've brought it up on the show before, like younger people's need to have subtitles on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Which drives me up a wall. Like,
it's, yeah, I feel like if you don't actually need the subtitles, it's like, it just, I don't know. I feel like if there are subtitles when I don't need them, I kind of turn into more of like a passive like watcher, because it's like, oh, I'm not like, I can just like quickly read like the dialogue and like I don't really actually have to be like paying that much attention. Like I hate when subtitles are on, unless I need them, obviously.
Unless you need them, you know, unless it's like the movie takes place in Ireland or something. Like,
yeah, sorry, I'm actually laughing because I just realized what you meant by the shirt. If it's like this, it's...
Yeah, like yeah, exactly. Yeah,
my guy's getting domed up. All right.
Wait, I gotta take another picture of that. Get it right. Wait. Get it right. That's so funny.
It looks That's like he's good. Got like his hands behind his back, too.
He's All loving right. it. He's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
But you know, also too, another crazy thing is like, did you see that thing that came out like last week about teens, like, you know, not like they would prefer their content, not their like, I won't call them TV shows, but they would prefer their content, their TVs and their movies to not have any sex scenes in them because they don't further the plot.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. But I think one detail that they left out in whatever that study was going around was that there's just so much porn now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like you've mentioned that before, that like that porn kind of killed sex scenes in movies. You really don't see them anymore, but sorry, I'm getting nervous talking about porn.
Why are you getting nervous?
Dude, I've never seen it before, so I don't want to show my ass. I just looked down at your shirt, dude.
Look at that.
I don't know where I was going with that. I got a little distracted with all that sunlight that just came into my beautiful rent stabilized apartment that is still too expensive for me to afford. But that's besides the point. Anyway, back on topic. Yeah, the kids. That's it. That's all I got to say. The kids are.
We love them, folks.
Love him. Yeah. Sorry.
Gen Alpha, Gen Z.
Gen.
God bless.
To be honest with you, I don't. When I started seeing Gen Alpha on Twitter, I was like, what is this?
It's Gen Alpha.
Gen Alpha, dude. What does Google describe Generation Alpha as? Those born from 2010 to 2024. That's.
Oh my God.
That's. Damn, Gen Alpha. That's scary.
Well, before we move into some segments, you know, like I did forget to ask you, are you using anything new in your skincare routine?
No, dude, because I'm all out of shit.
Well, I was gonna recommend to you, because you said you're looking for a new cleanser.
Oh yeah.
And this totally went under, this totally like missed me, even though you know, Anna works for Glossier. But Glossier released their Milky Jelly Cleanser in a bar soap form.
Oh, I think I remember. All right. So you've tried it then?
I haven't tried it. I mean, I'm interested. I'm curious.
I like the. I used a squirt of the Milky Jelly Cleanser at. Lauren and Evan had it at their place, right? I think.
I don't know. When I was at their place last, they had some Dr. Sturm hand wash by their sink.
Oh,
and I was
shit,
like,
really?
What is that doing up here?
They don't need that.
In the Catskills. What is that doing up here?
That's bringing the prices of the houses up in the Catskills, tell you
that's
that much.
That's true.
No, I think they had a Milky Jelly Cleanser, and I was like, I also used, back like a month ago when I was in San Francisco and stayed at Mikey's place. I think Marcella also used to work for Glossier at some point. Anyway, they had Milky Jelly Cleanser in the shower, and I used it, and I was like, this it's kind of nice. I like it.
Yeah, it's great.
So maybe I'll have to give the bar soap a try. I don't know if does Glossier still send out PR packages? Is that something they do? Is influencer marketing still built into the budget? Because
well, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think. I feel like no.
I think something else more interesting is happening at Glossier in terms with influencers.
Incredible things are happening.
Well, no. Anna pointed out one time. That it seemed like every like influencer girl that's included in their campaigns eventually goes on to become like
in
movies, like an actor. Like they're like they start out as like just like an influencer, like maybe like not an influencer, but you know, like I don't know, an account with like I don't know, like 30,000 followers or something like that. Like okay. Not like top on like tier
TikTok
level
or something.
Yeah, but then eventually their careers start like goes off as soon as they're in the campaign. So I think that's someone's got to study that. Have you tried out Sophie Pavitt's Nice Ice frozen toner pods?
Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm not quite sure. I have and I love it. It's not supposed to be totally frozen, right? Because it says like stick in the freezer. I think it says stick in the freezer 5 hours before like application. But yeah. If you stick it in the freezer, it's like it literally turns into like ice. Is that what it's supposed to be?
It's supposed to turn into ice, and so it's like
because then it seems
when you get out of the shower or you. Because
it seems like you're supposed.
You wake up and like you need to do your skincare routine. Your eyes are looking puffy as hell. You know,
do you just put the ice directly inflamed under your skin?
Yeah. Or you just rub it around. You just rub it. To apply after cleansing, open the lid of the toner pod, remove the packet, place it on a cotton round, and apply in circular motions.
Oh, see, that's why I thought like place it on a cotton round made me think that it should be like a little liquidy and like, you know, like as if you're applying a normal toner.
No, I think it's trying to get ahead of any contamination between your fingers and the pod. But
if it's not doing anything, I love it.
The cubes.
I love it. What do you think?
I think it's a pretty brilliant product, but I haven't tried it yet. I need to stick it in the freezer. Do you stick it in just like in the box, or did you take the box?
I just stuck the box in. Yeah, I just stuck the box in.
Yeah, I need to stick it in there. The key ingredients: glycerin, niacinamide, green tea extract, and ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha. Wow, I didn't see. Interesting. Ashwagandha.
Help condition and protect skin from environmental stress. Coming on the next pod, this review.
Yeah.
And there will be a next pod because
we're back.
We're back. I've got nothing going on now. I literally have nothing on. So I got to like sink or swim with this.
And let's get into some segments.
All right, let's get into it. Oh, one last thing about Sophie Pavitt. If anyone is in town in New York specifically, if you're around on November 15th, there is an event hosted by Sophie Pavitt. And I don't know if this is generally open to the public. I mean, hopefully I'm not taking spots from more deserving people.
Did you RSVP?
Yeah.
Okay. I think, do we both have to do it?
No, I did it.
No, I should do it. Because I saw that there was like a limited, it said like 34 out of 50 something have, or maybe that's just who she invited.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, continue.
Oh, I think that's like what's left. I think right now there are like 32 out of 54 spots left.
Got it.
But Sophie Pavitt, she is hosting a movie night at Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
A special screening of the 90s classic Beautician and the Beast, and I thought that was such a fun idea. It's kind of funny that she came up with this, because we were talking with another brand around this time, kind of do like a movie night, like a double feature related to beauty, male beauty, as it's been documented in cinema, but we never got around to it. But I think it's a fun concept. So if I'll be there. Emilio might be there.
I'll be there. Sorry, I'm looking for. Got it. Okay. And what? Sorry.
No, that's it. I just wanted to shout that out. I'm not sure. Maybe we can provide a link. Either way, I'll message Sophie and see. Hey, is it cool if like we just put this in our show? So there's that. But moving into some segments, Emilio.
What's the first
rude
segment?
Let's do Dewey Rude.
Oh shit, dude. I forgot that one existed. I don't know if I do you have one? Let me think about it. I've just seen nothing but love lately.
I have one. Okay. Dewey Rude. So like last week, Byline had a magazine launch that they did with Urban Outfitters, and they had a little party in the basement of Parcel, which I think is now open to the public. Bring a personal fan. It's pretty hot down there. But there was a photographer going around, snapping people left and right. I generally don't like to have my photo taken at these kind of things. I feel unnatural. I feel like I don't even know how to look at the camera, you know, like anyway, I didn't think they were going to post a pic of me, but there's a pic of me with Bijan from Intramural Shop. And then I don't know Layla's last name, but I think she works for Nylon Mag. Okay. And I'm in this photo. My eyes are half shut.
Oh, yeah.
I looked fucked up. And then also you can like just the way the flash was mixed with like the hell on earth heat that was happening down there.
Yeah.
Sweating. Like you can really see like the redness around my like my scar, but then a little bit of this keratosis, this actinic keratosis that's on my face, making me look like fucking ASAP Yams.
Oh my god!
Like I just look awful, and it's a pic that I kind of want scrubbed from the internet.
I mean, when I
you saw it, you looked at it and you go woof.
I didn't say woof. I just like, I mean, I saw it after like I looked at the whole album or whatever, and I was like, all right, yeah, these were very just like. No, like as soon as the photos were taken, they were uploaded to this folder. Like it was like no edits, no looking over anything, no deciding what's good and what's bad. It was just like all thrown up. Yeah. The lighting wasn't the best, but there's one photo of me that's bad, and the other one's fine because like at least like we were given time to prepare.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't want to get.
Speaking of parties, what did you think about last night? We totally missed this.
I thought, so we sort of co-hosted a Halloween party at Lovely Day with Silica Linder Gallery. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was a really fun time. I thought the music was good. I thought it was the perfect amount of people because that basement is not fun when there is way too many people. And sometimes it'd be cool if there's like street spillage, but it's just like a cold night, not the night for that. I think everything went really smoothly, and it was nice talking to some fans. Shout out to the fans the few fans that we chatted with for a bit. Yeah, what did you think of the night?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was like you said, the perfect amount of people. Shout out to Alexi from Nymphet Alumni for coming for showing up with what was later voted the best costume by us three judges.
Yeah.
She was dressed as conceptually the Birds by Alfred Hitchcock. It was incredible. Other friend of the pod, Annie, had a pretty sick Marie Antoinette get up. She also got a gift from Lovely Day for winning second place. I Halloween's funny. I generally don't like dressing up. And I think I was kind of stressing about this a little bit more because of the fact that we were hosting a costume contest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was pretty silly, you know, showing up in what I showed up in. I was getting a lot of different answers. People kept asking if I was dandruff.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because I had all this like frozen ice in my hair. You know, somebody thought I was, they looked at me and they go, "There will be blood." And I was like, will be blood? Am I Daniel Plainfield from There Will Be Blood? Someone else said Oliver Twist, and then my favorite was someone was like, "Yo, are you Mumford and Sons?"
Mumford and Sons,
and the fucking the what is it called, the stomp and clap get up with the Mandarin.
I think it's the collar, Mandarin collar. Really, yeah,
no, folks, I was Jack Dawson from fucking Titanic, and longtime listeners of the show know that that.
It's big Titanic.
That's a big movie Cameron in my fan, heart.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like, I think people usually expect, especially in New York, they want you to do something a little more esoteric. I really fucking hate, here's my Dewey Rude. I hate when someone does like a costume and then, because they assume most of their audiences won't just get it upon first glance, they have to like put like a side-by-side of the thing they're emulating.
Right. There's too much.
You know, it like defeats the purpose of a costume. Some costumes I did like seeing on the internet, I really liked. There's one, somebody dressed up as Lydia Tarr. Did some like Avatar makeup. So it was like Avatar. And I thought that was, I usually don't like clever things like that, but I thought that was pretty good.
Really thought that out, huh?
What's his name from the Spurs? He had a pretty sick costume. He was Slenderman.
The Spurs, you know, like the
basketball team,
the San Antonio Spurs. Victor, oh, I was thinking Tottenham. I was thinking Tottenham.
Victor Wembanyama.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow, you said that right.
It's ever since I listened to that that Shep interview of How Long Gone.
Uh huh.
I'm like, you know, there are not enough dudes in New York. I need to get back on my.
Dude
on my
circle.
Dude,
gotta get dudes,
yeah, my
dudes
my
circle.
Dude interest and knowledge, but
yeah,
yeah.
All right,
but yeah. So do you have a Dewey root? Let me wait.
No Dewey roots. I've been, you know, nothing but love.
So this is the video. Oh God.
Oh, this is my dude of the week. I don't know.
Fuck.
Oh shit! Wait, sorry. I just got a text from Dan. Wait, what? Okay. Anyway, sorry. So back to. Yeah, I don't know why the fuck this came up on my Explore feed a couple days ago, and I thought it was I've never done this. I was entranced. I've watched these videos for like 20 minutes because I couldn't figure out whether it was like a joke or for real. But I think it's for real. The geometric barber.
Sorry, I was looking at something up. I was looking the geometric barber. I mean, I've seen a few of these, and I think honestly, this is only something that can be addressed, I think, at black barbershops. I don't think there are any white barbers out there trying to do that. I mean, what do you think about the result? What do you think about?
I don't think it looks good.
You don't think it looks good?
No, I mean,
I'm
good.
Not
I
one to
looks,
judge.
I think
I'm really not one to.
They got the cut.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks pretty bad at the beginning. I think he did it. I think it's marginally better. Yeah, I mean, this is the difficulty. This is the difficult thing, you know. When you get to a certain age, you're just kind of like in denial about kind of some of the crazy stray hairs that are going on, like around your what used to be your hairline, and you think you still got some hair, but you don't quite want to just fucking shave it all off. I don't know what you do, but yeah, you know what I was looking up, Emilio?
What?
I was looking up to see if Isosceles was a person.
Isosceles?
You know, okay. Isosceles triangle? Because
yeah,
I looked
yeah.
at the geometric barber and I was about to be like, damn, Isosceles himself. And I was like, is
like
Isosceles, was that a person? Like, is
a
was
Greek
that
God? I don't think
did
so.
He,
but did you look it up?
It's a Greek word. Okay, so it's not a person, but.
All right, let's. Okay, so that's my. You got a dude of the week? Did you already say
your
dude of the week?
I think I said my dude of the week at the top of the show. Big shout out to Ole. I guess if I had to throw another gentleman in there. Shout out to my man Leo getting his booty hole touched at the function. We've all been there, haven't we?
Yeah.
So
okay.
I just, you know, good for him. Whatever. You know, like I think you alluded to him earlier when you were talking about being
the
like
perpetual
bachelor, which I guess, all right, he's always like dating someone.
Yeah, exactly. Which
Yeah. Which is like the opposite of like the Drake Bachelor. So like Drake is I've never seen him dating anyone ever.
Yeah. And it's not by choice.
And it's not by choice. Like Leo, he's maybe got a fear of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least Vittoria is 25 years, so he's past that hurdle.
Yeah. He's. Yeah,
he's grown up,
making strides, growing up a bit. All right, the Dewey do's and don'ts. I already kind of said this at the top of the episode too. Just, you know, whatever. I guess this pertains more to older listeners out there. You know, if you to hit your 30s, whatever ideas you had for yourself, just stop clinging onto them. Let them go. Lean into it, embrace whatever you're good at, whatever it is that you're good at. Take that however you will.
Yeah, and I think you mix that in with a little bit of having a, you know, stay curious, right? You know, again,
yeah,
entering this new decade, and if you have any a little bit more of hunger and ambition, I think mixed with leaning in with what you're good at, you'll be surprised that work, good things, you know, I guess related to your interest in career, will probably come your way, you know.
Yeah.
So hold on to that. If you're getting 5,000 notifications a day, might I recommend you take a drive up to Tarasco, New York. There's a place called Russell Brook where there's a waterfall that you can see, but there's also a trail where there is no service for at least a mile. And I know that might cause people some anxiety. Oh, what if I fall and I you know, sprain my ankle like Emilio did a couple weeks ago in a soccer game. What if I go out with my boyfriend or I go out with anyone and I get, you know, Adriana'd? I don't know. I think there's a payoff though, you know?
Yeah.
Notifications, going missing. I don't know. Up to you. Any more do's and don'ts?
Fuck, hold on, I might pull up my notes. I'm still, you know, I gotta be better about texting people back, just being more timely with, especially with making a bigger effort to truly stay in touch with, you know, the good friends you've made over the years that aren't in the same city as you are. Because you know, if you stay in touch, then you get to celebrate these wonderful moments later down the line, like the wedding.
True.
Yeah, I was just saying that because it took me like 3 days to text somebody back recently, or somebody that texted me at the wedding. Yeah, that's one. What else? You got anything else?
I think related to that, I think and keeping in touch with some people who live far away. Yeah, I feel like once those moments happen where you're able to get like to reconnect, like for example, I hadn't seen Evan Seaforth's parents in like maybe seven years.
Whoa.
And you know, it was great. It was great seeing them again, you know, like,
yeah.
Granted they're like his parents, but you know, you it does kind of like it rounds out your life in it where it doesn't seem so meaningless.
Yeah.
I think there's something about that, and that, you know, life isn't just some video game that you're just trying to, like, I don't know, meet new characters, get new experiences all the time. You're that literally there is something, you know, that from your past that you in a good way can be attached to that.
Yeah. It's very grounding. And I think that's what, yeah, you explained it really well. I think that's sort of what I felt at the wedding. And I think in New York, it's easy to get stuck in that perpetual cycle of just constantly like looking for new experiences, trying to meet new people.
Just slow it down. But that's it. I think